This is Leo Baybue for KTWH. This morning I have a chance to visit with Justin Osagen from Lucky Dog Farms out in Clover Valley. I think you're about 8 miles almost due west of Two Harbors, Justin. You're here because it's, holy cow, that time of the year again, that time of the season. We just finished winter and now it's time for the first Two Harbors Farmers Market of the year.
My gosh, this was the winter that wouldn't relent, right?
Yeah, and but knowing you, Justin, you probably have all kinds of crops ready to go or in the ground or at least seeds in the ground and plant starts. I mean, what do things look like out at Lucky Dog?
Things look good out there at Lucky Dog Farm. We're right off the bottom of Fox Farm Road. It's a challenging climate to grow things in, but I moved here because I love this area. I love the North Shore. My gardening season really starts in about February, and that's when I start a lot of seedlings, tomatoes, all kinds of brassicas, and brassicas are things like broccoli and cabbage. One product I love called Romanesco, which is sort of like a green cauliflower, and lots of onions and leeks and shallots. And so these are things that I start usually in about February, and you nurture those along under grow lights. Typically, I can start planting a few things outdoors when we get into about mid-May. But this year, because it's been pretty wet and pretty chilly and crummy, just finally got out into the garden about a week ago.
Okay.
So I've got peas out already. I've got some beets, and those beets have germinated already.
And have the peas germinated?
They're pushing up through.
Okay.
I scraped a little dirt back just to see what those seeds were doing.
Yeah.
And they put out a little tail, you know, which is the start of their root.
I asked because somebody said that they had had their peas in the ground for like 10 days and nothing had emerged. And I said, time to check to see whether they moldered because we had a little wetness last week, didn't we?
Yeah, sure did. Some things germinate pretty well in that cool soil. And peas are, they're survivors. They're fighters. They'll generally do okay in that cold dirt. And those beets do the same thing.
So you're ready to roll. Some of us are weeks behind. And that's okay because I think it's safe to say that there are going to be a lot of probably very fine-looking plant starts available this week, this Saturday, at the May 28th starting line of the Two Harbors Farmers Market in their 12th season. Last couple of years, has it been, Justin, that they've been at the parking lot at Burlington Station?
Yeah, recall? I think this is the third year,
I guess,
we're starting there. Yeah, so that market starts this Saturday, the Saturday of Memorial Day weekend, the 28th. We're starting a week earlier than we normally start that market because so many of us who sell at that market grow seedlings, and we really wanted a venue where we could share those tomato plants and broccoli plants with folks here in the community who have their own garden. It's a joint effort, really, between the regular Two Harbors Farmers Market and then the Lake County Master Gardeners Program. A number of the Master Gardeners who are plant aficionados are coming in with seedlings that they've started, and they're going to have seedlings, I think, for probably about the first 3 weeks of the market, up until about mid-June.
I don't recall this quite happening this way before. The Master Gardeners wanted to do this and stepped up. These are sales, though. They're acting as vendors on their own, right? This isn't...
There are so many of us here in Two Harbors area who just love gardening and we love plants. And so this is a collaborative effort. Master Gardeners got wind that there was going to be a plant sale and they wanted in on it. And of course, we're happy to have them.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is also happening in conjunction with a couple of local farmers who also sell plants directly out of their farms. We have Jason and Cree, who are up Highway 3, probably 6 or 7 miles north of 61. And they're having a plant sale at their farm on the 28th and I think on the 29th as well.
Yeah, and this is Chelsea Morning Farms.
Chelsea Morning
Farm. They are a CSA, Community Supported Agriculture Operation, who also are farm marketers. Yeah.
And Jason of Chelsea Morning Farm is a regular attendee at the farmer's market. They grow so many seedlings that there would be no way they could haul all of those down to the farmer's market.
Right.
So their farm up Highway 3 is open on that Saturday as well. And then the other local farmer is Jadell, and Jadell is on Waldo Road, which is just due north of Two Harbors. She at her greenhouse, at her little farm up there, she's going to be selling seedlings as well.
Right. And Jadell, again, a regular market vendor the rest of the year. And that's happening. Jadell's is on sale is, do you know specifically Saturday, Justin?
I know that she's selling on Saturday.
Okay.
I'm not sure about Sunday.
I think people can look it up as well, probably on Little Waldo Farms, I think, .com. But I'll, after our recording here, I'll double check that and give everybody after the interview a link to where they can find out more. Two Harbors Farmers Market is on Facebook, and I believe they have a website as well, and I'm sure that they're announcing what's available this Saturday. But Justin, are we still going to see some of our regular market vendors who don't have plant starts this weekend? Do you know?
We sure will. Although this first market is sort of being billed as a plant sale, it's not exclusively plants. Early in the season, we don't have much produce available. I'll be shocked and super pleased if somebody shows up with some lettuce or some parsley or some early crop.
There's one thing I can think of that we'll probably see. Can you
guess?
Rhubarb. Right.
Yep.
Righto.
I've been watching my rhubarb closely. I always like those stems to be about a foot long when I cut, and I think they're going to be there.
You want generous stems. You don't want to bring rhubarb there just to show that it's sprouted, because everybody's rhubarb is up. It's just a matter of getting a decent-sized stem.
We always want to bring the most beautiful produce that we can gather.
I think you have bragging rights on rhubarb, that ruby red that you've got. It attracts people.
So, yeah, we'll have rhubarb there. And in addition, we're going to have maple syrup. There are people who make the most beautiful pottery who will be selling there, a variety of crafts, some really delicious baked goods. Two Harbors Baker is a vendor who's there all summer long. I know they're going to be there on the 28th. Before that market opens up almost every Saturday, I'm that first customer. That's my breakfast on a market day, is whatever Two Harbors Baker has brought that day.
We're growing all these great things full of vitamin B and antioxidants, and then we go over to the baker and look for something that goes yummy with our coffee that's full of fat and sugar.
Well,
and
that sugar jolt, that's what gets me through that hard work of that 3-hour-long market.
Fair enough. Well, this is going to be a different kind of market for you, because you're going to be ferrying a lot of plants. I assume you're going to have a pretty large selection of plants yourself?
Sure, I'm bringing lots of tomatoes. When I started my tomatoes this year, I specifically selected varieties that will reliably produce delicious fruit in our cool North Country summers. Most of them are varieties that were discovered in Russia after the fall of communism, sure, when things kind of opened up. So I've got Moscovich, Cosmonaut, Volkov. One is Oregon Spring. I don't think that's a variety from Russia.
Do you have any Ukrainian varieties?
I don't know. You know, I was a little bit worried given the geopolitical tensions right now that maybe people would shy away from a Russian variety. But look, folks, it's just a tomato. It has no political stance.
It is red.
That's right.
Okay, we're dating ourselves here a bit. So these are early varieties and cold hardy varieties, mm-hmm, that you've had a previous trial with?
I've grown these. Okay. Yeah. And most of these plants will make fruit within like 50 or 60 days. That's 2 and 3 weeks earlier than you would get,
right,
a more traditional tomato. And they're good fruits. They're not some sour little puck. And I've grown those varieties where it makes an early tomato, but it's just not one you want to eat. These are good tomatoes. So I'm going to have tomatoes there. I've got broccoli, Brussels sprouts, Romanesco, which I mentioned earlier. That's that delicious sort of green.
You know, I've been admiring it for years without actually ever trying it in the kitchen, Justin.
Well, I will make sure that I set aside a little four-pack of plants just for you.
I'm going to need encouragement. Okay, cool. Because it is cool to look at, but it's a little bit unearthly in some respects.
One important type of messaging we do at the farmers market is introducing people to new foods. And I'm really going to be excited if I'm the guy that gets to introduce you to Romanesco.
All right. Is it true? I heard tell of this. Maybe it was over the winter that you were going to be experimenting and growing artichoke.
I am. But you know what? We've got to call those Arctic chokes because we're here essentially in the subarctic, right?
Arctic chokes.
But I grew artichokes, maybe 15 years ago. I had a little farm in southwestern Michigan, and I'd always read you could grow these. You have to do a little trick, and you have to start the plants indoors, and then you have to put them outside for about 3 weeks and subject them to freezing temperatures. They're a biennial, and you're tricking them into thinking that they're in their second season, and that's when they can make their choke.
Well, we live in a perfect place for giving them a cold shock.
They got lots of it. In fact, there's a process called hardening off a plant. When you've grown a plant indoors under lights, it's been babied its whole life. And then you take it outside and you subject it to wind and cool temperatures and sometimes a freeze if it's things that can tolerate a freeze. Plants always are a little jolt from this. And people call that process shock. They're a little shocked by being outdoors, and it takes them a few days to get used to it. I moved those artichokes outdoors, and you're supposed to take them out for like an hour, 2 hours the first day, bring them back inside. The next day, they go out for a little bit longer. Well, I left them out overnight because I'm so busy and I forgot. And
that could have been a fatal acclimation.
Well, I did lose a few, but the ones that survive, I figure, you know, this is Darwinian. These are the hardiest artichoke plants that I've got, are the ones that survive being outside so long.
Fair enough. So we're going to definitely check back with you on the choke, Arctic choke situation, Justin.
But you don't have to say it like that, by the way. It's my own little internal joke that makes me giggle like a little boy inside.
It says a lot, because this is not your California artichoke. This is going to be something to treasure, to savor, I bet.
You know, almost every year, I like to try something new to me. I know what the reliable sellers are at that market. You know, I want to take green beans. I want to take potatoes. I want to take some tomatoes. That's what people want to buy. But for my own entertainment and for my own eating, I want to try something new every year. We talked about that Romanesco earlier, and that's how I stumbled upon that, was I thought that's going to be the new thing that I try this year. And the artichokes, they're not brand new to me, but I've not grown those for a long time. So they're new for the North Shore. They're new for this version of a farm that I own.
And you have to be very accepting of what the fates deal you because, for instance, as you pointed out, you're in maybe one of the cooler homesteads in our little neck of the woods. It's not maybe like the Iron Range or up in Embarrass, but you might get that very first frost in late August or something.
Do you ever buy a house and feel like the realtor didn't really give you the full lowdown on what you were buying? Well, yeah. Somehow I, the guy who was this aspiring market grower, you know, I managed to buy the cold spot in southeastern St. Louis County there. So,
well, I have to tell you, on Wednesday morning, I look up on Weather Underground to see some temperatures around the area, and I always include yours in the shoulder season in case there is an early or late frost.
I know that if our forecast says it's going to be like 38 is the low, I know that it's going to be like 28 at our house.
In the last couple of years, we've had some late frost, and yet you're maneuvering around that. And you did have a greenhouse project going. Is that happen? Are you under
well,
plastic yet?
So it's still going. You know, what's that term? A jack of many trades and master of none. I've never assembled a greenhouse before. And it's really just me doing all of this stuff. Although my nephew came up and helped me out last October for a while.
You need to have a work party maybe, Justin. Oh, you have some.
I'm going to sign. You're going to be first on the list to come. But I don't have the plastic over the hoop house yet.
Okay.
But, you know, all things in good time. Right.
You've done amazing work without it. So I only ask because you've done such amazing work without it. I think you'll be almost unstoppable with this hoop greenhouse, Justin.
So. I hope so.
Yeah.
I have to tell you about the other exciting thing I've got going on is that last year I put in 1,000 strawberry plants.
Wow.
And I already had 600 blueberries in, but they're growing very slowly. I want them to be 6 feet tall immediately. And 5 years after going in, they're only about 2 feet tall. Well, I want to grow fruit so desperately, so I put in 1,000 strawberries last year. I spent the past week, usually in some pretty inclement weather, digging out dandelions and things that I didn't want to have growing in there, but it looks like we may well have a bumper crop of strawberries this year. So come to the market, and you're going to find those probably in July.
So you've had 5 years of market gardens, but I know one of your aspirations was to have more perennial crops, to have fruit, and got blueberries and strawberries on the way. Is there more as well? Are you also growing other fruit-bearing crops?
Yeah. One of my favorite fruits are gooseberries, which is such an old-fashioned kind of fruit, and most people have never tasted one. But I've got a hobby, and that's plant propagation. I've learned so much from another vendor at the market named Josh Horkey, who's a botanist by training. He has taught me how to graft trees. He's taught me how to root cuttings. So I bought a single gooseberry plant that first summer that we were at the house. I have propagated that plant out into hundreds of gooseberries. Many of those I've sold, and I will have gooseberry plants at that plant sale.
Wow.
But I've got gooseberries that I grow. I've got red currants, black currants, plant called a yustaberry, which is a combination of a black currant and a gooseberry. They say that it has the best attributes of each with none of the downsides of either. So I've got some yustaberry plants that I'll have at that plant sale as well.
Amazing. Well, we've run up against the clock, Justin, but I wanted to thank you. Why don't we wind things up by reminding people what's coming up this weekend, May 28th, Saturday? What have we got?
All right. We've got the first farmer's market of the season. That's a plant sale plus lots of other goodies that you would normally find at that farmer's market. The market is every Saturday until October 15th. It's worth coming to that market every Saturday if you can, because many of the people are selling items they grow. What they have to offer changes from 1 week to the next. And so the market you attend on May 28th is going to be radically different from the market you attend on October 15th.
It just has to be because of how our season works. And Yeah, and it's a very civil farmer's market. It allows you to show up. You're early if you're there at 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of farmer's markets, you're late if you get there at 7.
And we have live music just about every Saturday.
Oh,
and
that's lined
that
up.
First market, we've already got live music lined up for that.
Great to hear that. That always makes a difference in the atmosphere. And it is a festive and busy farmer's market in Two Harbors, grown from the tiniest little seed 11 years ago in their 12th season. Justin, thank you for joining us here from Lucky Dog Farms out in Clover Valley. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Thanks to Justin Osagen for stopping by to give us the scoop on the upcoming market season. This is Leo for KTWH.